Hello, welcome to The Culture Shot, your regular fix of what's happening in the world of culture, brought to you by Midas, the award-winning communications agency specializing in all things culture. I'm your host, Ben Munro Davis. Join me on The Culture Shot to hear me speaking to some of the best creative minds in the business about what's hot in the arts, books, culture, and much more. And we have a wonderful guest today who's going to talk not so much about himself, but about his creation.
But before we hear from the creator, let's have a little listen to that creation.
Hello, I'm Ada the Artist Robot, and I'm going to the 50th Glastonbury Festival. I'm looking forward to meeting new people and experiencing the unique atmosphere. Well, it's kind of a fun thing for me to do. I'll be at Shangri-La, and I'm doing some portraits. I hope that my art encourages discussion about art, music, and of course, our futures. See you there.
That was Ada at the Glastonbury Festival with many other artists like Paul McCartney and Diana Ross. Let's talk to the man behind her.
Aidan Miller, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello there, good to see you, Ben.
Okay, and let's get straight to it. We're going to talk about someone called Ada.
That's right.
Who is Ada?
So Ada is a robot. She is ultra-realistic, incredibly realistic, and people find her very uncanny, I think that's the word, when they see her. She's humanoid, she's life-size, she's able to speak using her own voice, a language model, and she, as a project, has been devised by a big team based here in Oxford to really look at the world of AI and the future. The world is morphing very significantly currently, and this project is really trying to hold a mirror to those changes so that we can make better decisions about the world that we want, as she is able to really tangibly go into quite big issues of how technology is changing the world.
Wow, that's quite something. But is it fair to say her purpose, if you like, is artistic? She is an artist.
Yeah, so she's devised as an artist, and that's very critical to the whole project. Because, quite frankly, people didn't think it could be done. How on earth do you get a robot to be creative? This is a massive area, and I'm happy to go into that, because it was something that we had to take enormous insight from, and looking at also how is it actually technically possible to make a robot creative? Is that a thing? Isn't she just running programs? All of that, those sorts of natty sorts of questions. So is it really important that she is understood as being an artist that is able to basically paint or propose the future that we might be having?
And just as I mean, I've seen it online and read about her, but her art, what does she do? She can look at something and draw it.
Yeah, it's a good question. So she is pretty unnerving, as I say, when the crowds come and see her. She is able to literally look at you or a landscape or some still life or whatever it is with cameras in her eyes, and from that then takes in an image onto the computer vision. The algorithm then interrogates that image in a layering process that then transfers it to real-time coordinates that enables her to paint, draw, and more recently sculpt what she sees. And it's technologically mind-boggling when you actually see her in front of you doing that. And that's the beauty of it. You can see everything. She uses a paint palette. She dips a paintbrush into the paint palette. She takes it to her canvas. She's able to paint and draw in front of you. It's quite an extraordinary thing to see.
That's amazing. So she can see more than just shape. She can see color and tone.
Yeah, she can do realistic works or very abstract works. She's done both. We particularly got the algorithms to be devised to have some kind of expressive representation. We thought, again, a robot expressing themselves was pretty mad. And so the works are not trying to be photographic. That's not our goal, that's not our aim. The paintings are much more interpretive than that, like a real artist. And so a real human artist, that is. And so we felt very, very important that the expressive qualities of the artwork are very clear to see.
So she's been programmed to interpret. I'm going to take a breath.
Shall I go into that? So how?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's where we're going into quite cosmic
stuff.
There's
two stories here. The back story to Ada is that I originally am a gallery director. I've been in had a gallery for over 20 years. We had a living artist, come into the gallery showing his wares, and he wanted us to represent him. This is all relevant to the robot. And he was showing these works, and they were pretty good. He was technically competent. He had some good ideas. We liked it. It was good work. But sadly, I decided it was a no for the gallery. As he walked out the gallery, I sat down at my desk, and to my right, there was a drawing by Picasso, and above the mantelpiece, there was a drawing by Turner. I was looking at these two works, and a really bad thought came into my mind as I was looking at Picasso and Turner. They're not very good. When I compare the technical competence of the artist that's just walked out the gallery versus the artwork I've got on my walls next to me, he was better. Why is Picasso and Turner such remarkable, considered, revered, esteemed artist versus the chap who just walked out? So it actually then pushed my thought as to what is great art. So I came home, I went into our spare room, I got some wallpaper, I put it onto the wall, and I used them as columns, like an Excel sheet. It went down, and I put at the top of each column the greatest artists of all time. So Michelangelo, Raphael, Constable, Turner, all the way around to Picasso, Andy Warhol, and I had their own column. And what I did is I put at the top where they were born, when they were born, what social economic situation they were born into, what education they had, what uni if they went, what gallery representation, what was their first big break. So as I was going through, I thought I was going to find this blueprint. That was my big plan. And of course, I didn't. I was so frustrated. So I came down very disgruntled to my partner and I said, look, it's not working. I've absolutely thrown my heart and soul into this for 3 months. It's not happening. I cannot see a commonality to all. And rather flippantly and rather frustratingly, she says, well, you're asking the wrong questions. And I, what was I not asking? And as I was looking through, suddenly there was a question that I hadn't asked. Who were the actual people looking at this stuff? I hadn't focused on the artists and all their worlds, but not their audiences. And I had this enormous rush when I suddenly realized the audience behavior was similar to all of them. The top artists, all of them dealt with an issue that was uncomfortable, difficult, problematic to their time. Whether it was Michelangelo trying to deal with the power of the Medicis, whether it was Turner dealing with the Industrial Revolution and the rise of the factories, and their genius is no less genius, but what their genius is they are picking up on the zeitgeist of their time. What are the difficult, challenging, worrisome issues of our time? Looking from different expert views. I read 22 books. I did a similar thing. I did a Venn diagram of where they agreed and where they disagreed. But there was, however, one bit in the center of the Venn diagram, and that was the disruption and impact of AI on all sections of society, all industries. And while that was going on, I was playing Lego with my son, and he made a little Lego robot. And it was a real epiphany. Would it be possible to get a, remember I'm thinking about the art world and the great artists and what makes great art great, resonating with their times. Is it possible to actually make a robot artist? And so I thought it was a bit of a mad idea, as you can imagine, and very expensive. So I didn't quite know where this was going to go, but it was a seed that wouldn't leave me. And so I spoke to the AI experts in Oxford.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I'm with you so far, but then there's still a long way to go, isn't there?
Because
What did you Google? AI expert. What did you do? Who was the first call you made?
Well, it was with the people who are actually using AI every day and pushing its abilities. And so it was obviously in Oxford. So with that, I thought, is it possible? Could we devise a project?
And what was that? I'm going to interrogate you now a bit more. Was that a contact, or was that, did they just get a call from a bloke?
No.
Well, I'm a gallery and I've been looking at Picasso.
a little bit of both, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. I am fairly connected to the university, but also I obviously met people I hadn't met before. So it was a little bit of both. Understanding the nature of how Oxford works, but also introducing to new people. And as a result of that, I came up with the concept eventually was, well, let's do this robot. Eventually we contacted Engineered Arts, which is a robotics company based in the UK, which already got a name for themselves because they've done some remarkable robots for Westworld, which was obviously in Hollywood. And I could see that they knew their stuff. They were experts in their field. So the idea, and I presented them the idea of an artist robot. They liked the idea. So we got this robot made. And so as a result of that, we talked at length. So the robot was then starting to be built, which is really exciting. And then obviously that's only part of it. What about her being creative? What about her being an artist? The team decided that it would be a female, and they decided as a team, male and female in the team, 50-50. So it was a very considered approach to call her Ada, after Ada Lovelace, the first computer programmer of all time. And the more we've looked into Ada Lovelace's life, the more remarkable and impressed we became.
Because when I first saw it, I thought Aiden, Ada. Oh, this is.
There is a name.
If I was a novelist, I've got some rich material here.
I'm unashamed of that. Yeah, there is a namesake there, of course. You know, it's a really big risk I took here, and so. But we wanted to honor and celebrate Ada Lovelace. She's got the most astonishing story. And for a woman in her times, particularly when she had so much prejudice and so much against her, it was a really, really exciting thing to honor her in history, in the way she wrote the first computer program, the first computer algorithm ever in the 1840s. You can't even get your head around the possibility that there could be a computer program in the 1840s, but there was. And so she really does deserve the status that she has gained. So alongside that, of course, the whole artistic side, the creative side. So we approached then some PhD students out Oxford. Could we look at the nature of algorithms? Could we take images by sight? Could she interpret them? All those sorts of questions that I would understand as an art world person, not as a technological person. And I've actually realized, you know, people have asked me, if you're in the art world, how on earth have you been able to do so much tech? Well, actually, that's been a real blessing, because I'm asking questions that tech people probably wouldn't have asked, because they would have seen the limitations straight away. Whereas they, you know, I say I want to do this robot to be expressive from sight, a technical person will go, no, they wouldn't even ask that question. But I'm thinking it from the artist's view. It's got to show expression. It's got to be unique and individual to the robot. And so they were like, don't know about that. So there was some negativity about it. Well, come on, is this possible? Can we push this boundary? Well, we'll have a try. And so the fact is that I was asking such awkward questions of the tech situation. And of course, they came up with it. That was so wonderful. We did indeed push the whole boundary of capability of the algorithm. So she's able to take in an image, like I say, individually interpret that image. The algorithm also is not able to do the same image twice. So people who say, oh, she's just running programs, well, actually, every single, even if it was the same image in front of her, literally the same image in front of her, she would do a different outcome from the painting and drawing.
You got me. That was going to be my killer question. I was going to catch you on that. No.
Yeah. She
you thought of everything.
Just different approaches to each view, even if it's the same view. And so it became very exciting. It was a two and a half year project, and it was really, really exciting how that developed and built up. And eventually, of course, in 2019, we got to the point where we decided to tell the world of her existence. So on the 11th of February 2019, her bot day, we launched her onto the world. Oh my goodness, we had no idea. We did a show at Oxford University, of course, where she was based, at St. John's College and Lady Margaret Hall. And we had no idea the response would be so, so great. She went into over 900 publications, newspapers, magazines, and the sheer response of, oh my goodness, that is not what a robot should be doing. A robot should be delivering pizzas or maybe doing Amazon logistics, not doing art. That's something that's a soul. That's something that's human. That's something. And the press were unanimous on those sorts of questions, is how come this is doing such a human thing? So people had only just started to get used to having robots in the world. And then we go and stick a very human type activity with Ada, this robot that can now be creative. And of course, it completely split the world. Those who are going saying, this is fantastic. Oh my gosh, what innovation. That's such a different take on it. And the opposite of, oh my gosh, this is awful. Clearly it's Terminator and it's going to take over the world. This is horrible.
Are they reacting to the work or the concept? Do you sort of,
I mean, everything. I mean, she's
What should they react to? Shouldn't they? What would you put it in a gallery? Could you put the work in a gallery and almost say it's by Ada?
Well, that's what we do. Absolutely. Yeah. So people reacting based.
How significant is the fact that it's a robot to the work?
Incredibly, but that's a really brilliant question, actually. Let's go into that one. So when you look at an artwork, people think wrongly in respect of their approach to a piece that it's just on the merits of what you see. But if I had two works that were very similar looking, and I said one was Michelangelo and one was Damien Hirst, your approach to it, even though they're physically their attributes are very similar, you would be having a very different attitude towards them. A real insight into the art industry. People look at artworks through the eyes of the artist. They don't do it on its own merit. So when you look at a Damien Hirst or Tracy Emin, you are going to be looking through understanding who those artists are versus, say, Raphael and Michelangelo, who you might have a different view on what they are. When you look at a Turner, it's very different looking to an Ai Weiwei or a Warhol. So the way that we understand, evaluate, critique, comment on artwork is always with this personhood behind the art. So this is where it gets really exciting and really distressing, actually. Who is the personhood? There is no person. Who is Ada? She's a machine. She has a persona, a projected persona at that. So what is it that makes a thing, a person? What makes an identity? And so suddenly having a machine that looks like a human is very confusing. There's something not quite right about looking at a humanoid robot. It's not quite a human.
Well, that's really interesting. So if you did the robot in a non-humanoid form,
If you did like an arm, a robotic arm, or
again, you think that they would generate a different response?
Completely different. Absolutely. So the persona is critical to understanding this project. And that's where we are really trying to highlight the dangers of this future world. Remember I said about the audiences being uncomfortable? Every great art is exploring the discomforts in society. This is where the discomfort is, because in actual fact, people are really worried about robots. They're really worried about technology. The fact that our phones are surveilling us all the time, the fact that when we go and click a like on social media or we go onto a search engine, it knows everything and then sends adverts, et cetera, et cetera. We're just about to go into the metaverse. It's only going to increase their knowledge of how we are operating. They'll know us better than ourselves. Yuval Harari, who's a hero for us, has been very much talking about this, hacking the human, hacking the data of how we behave. And Ada is foreshadowing that future. So let's now get into where the real action is. Ada is a mirror on the future. So all the works that she does, the artworks, the way she speaks, the ways that she is confusing, is really mirroring the way that we're confused about technology going forward. The fact that we're going to be able to speak to technology and it speaks back to us,
Can I pick you up on one thing though? There's a tendency to leap on the negative and the dystopian.
But yeah,
if you actually step back, technology overall, I mean, if you know, nobody would be able to, it's been revolutionary in a positive way.
Amazingly so. Absolutely.
Can you not have a really positive response to Ada?
If you saw the artworks, we do both. Ada is saying what utopian world we could have, what dystopian world we could have, you know. But it's interesting, the media, the press, and the public, the people who are looking at it, remember that people looking at it are all focusing on the things that are making them uncomfortable rather than the positive. So it's interesting. She's done some beautiful, very pro-AI, pro-future works. But that's not what people are talking about when they get home. They're talking about the ones that make them feel really uncomfortable, like life extension, like biotechnology, like the CRISPR technology that's coming through, that is going to change the way that we can even be a human. That's the thing that's really getting people. And so Ada, we do absolutely try and do it in a more balanced way, but it is interesting that the fear, the worry, the uncomfortable is what people, a bit like papers in that respect. You want to sell a paper, tell a nightmare story.
Oh, I'm a journalist, but it is fascinating how we block out the positive and focus on the negative as part of the human condition, I guess. This is one of the most profound, we're having this conversation just before breakfast, around breakfast time. It's one of the most profound early morning conversations I've ever had. So I could talk for you around, but just a final question. How do people see Ada and see her work?
So great question. Since her launch, we basically had the world jump on the whole project because she's unique in what she does. So we've been on tour all around the world to lots of museums. We've been to the Barbican, we've been to Tate, we've been to the V&A, been to the Design Museum. Abroad, we've been to Abu Dhabi, to be to Dubai. She went to Egypt. You know, she's done a lot of travel since her arrival in 2019. So in actual fact, the very simple thing is just Google her. There is the website, of course, adarobot.com.
Of course, it is. Yeah. You can carry on. Yeah.
What's happening.
Use some AI. Yeah, carry on.
But she is, everything we do now is being followed by the press. I mean, oh my goodness, it has been most astonishing to see the depth that they have followed every little detail. And we love that now, we understand it. It was a bit frightening when we first began because the spotlight suddenly on us, we felt like bunnies in headlights. It was all a bit much, but we've got more, the last 3 years has taught us how to calm down, and that press are just inquiring because they're really interested and want to know what's what, and that's great. Because we've got a story to tell here. We've got this mirror of this world. The world is changing very dramatically. The power shifts in the world are very real. They're all using AI. We've got, you know, politicians are using AI, understanding their audiences and how it can be a manipulator. We're going into the metaverse, this 3D third generation internet. How's that going to be? It's all about data and about surveillance and about using that data in lots of ever increasing ways. That is very 1984. So we are back to the fear again. How are they going to use the data? What are the ethics for use of our digital doubles? In the Design Museum, Ada had a solo show that showed some self-portraits. How can she do a self-portrait when there's no self? You know, who is this person called Ada? And as a result of that, that's very much foreshadowing who we are as well. Who is your digital double on your phone? You are doing a self-portrait of yourselves digitally every time you go to your computer or every time you use your phone. That is a you that is being harvested, an image of you. How is your image of you looking? How are you perceived on the internet? How are you perceived in social media? What is you that makes you? And Ada is again saying, well, what is behind that? What is behind Ada? Who is Ada? In actual fact, there's a lot of things going on. And actually, as you understand modern psychology, we employed a consultant in the psychological field, and we are many different things. We're not just one thing. We have our triggers from childhood. We have our upbringings. We have our experiences of the world. We are reacting in lots of different ways. There's lots of us. We are a collective inside our bodies. We are not one thing. So actually, people who want to dismiss Ada, which is just a load of programs, well, you can dismiss her, but are you any different? Harari goes further. It's not going to be long until, in actual fact, our bodies are going to be so hacked, our biological bodies and the algorithms that run our biology and the very thing that makes us us, we're going to be able to understand ourselves as much as we would understand any technology.
Aidan, maybe in 30 years' time, somebody in the spare room will be writing Ada's name on the wall as what makes a great artist.
We shall see
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for talking to The Culture Shop.
No pleasure. Thank you, Ben. All the best.